that I've occupied this pulpit so many times tonight. It's not my style. Usually when I'm invited to a dinner, I make my comments once, which is appropriate, and then I'm seated. But I took advantage tonight only because I love the Tzaddikim. And when I was asked if I could share some of my anecdotes about the great rabbis, what I minded. Although it's against my nature to do what I did tonight, to jump up and sit down and jump up and sit down, I might not even be respectful. But for the Tzaddikim, we have no respect and we have no ego. The Tzaddikim are towering figures, and therefore I allowed myself to occupy the pulpit over and over again. And now I have the brazenness, after all that, to come again and expect that this kahal at almost 10 o'clock at night is going to have the patience to listen to another long-winded speech. HaKav HaVadya, Alav HaShalom, who we came to memorialize tonight, used to say the following. There's 48 ways that we master the Torah. The 48 ways are mentioned in the Pirkei Avot. One of the ways is Amakirit Mekomo. Makirit Mekomo literally means you have to know your place. Everybody has a ranking. Everybody has a status. You have to know your place. Don't speak in front of people that are greater than you. Don't speak out of line. Know your level. But he explained it differently. But when you come to speak in front of a congregation, know the place that you're speaking. Know who you're speaking in front of. Makirit Mekomo. He was a master at that. He could come into any group, size it up in 1 second, and then immediately calculate and calibrate the level and speak perfectly according to the level of the people that were there, where everybody leaves satisfied. It's a genius to do it. A lot of times people come and speak and they speak above the congregation and nobody knows what was said. And sometimes the speaker speaks beneath the congregation and the congregation is insulted that the speaker does not respect their intelligence. I am Makir Mekomo. I recognize that the hour is late and that the good vibes over here, anything I can do now is only ruin it. And I wouldn't want to end the night, Chas v'Shalom, after such a crescendo that has been created. I go to dinners every month, many of them. I haven't seen a dinner with such energy, such vivaciousness, such love, such unity, such excitement, like the dinner that I was here tonight. I don't get excited from money. 8,000, 5,000. I come from a community that we could raise this money in 5 minutes in an elevator. The money doesn't excite me. But this, and I don't mean to say it in a, God forbid, in an arrogant way. I'm not from the donors. I'm a simple guy. But the community that we come from is very generous. But what I am jealous is of the camaraderie that we don't have. What you have here tonight is something very special. I don't come that often to Toronto, as you know. But I don't come enough, it seems, because to see what I saw here tonight, I guess this is what our community must have looked like 50 years ago. When everybody knew each other, everybody was close to each other. Now already it got so big that we've lost what you still have. So I'm somewhat envious, or jealous might be the word, but it's a good jealousy. My eye is good on you. And I pray that, Be'ezat Hashem, it should continue. Hine matov u'manaim shevet achim gam yachad. You have something very special. Know it, that the blessing of God is on all of you. I have no doubt of that. Amen. I'll say one word about our rabbi. We read Parashat Noach yesterday. I teach in all of the schools in the community. I just run around from school to school giving different classes, different ages, boys, girls. So I asked them on Friday, this was in the girls' school, in the high school, I said, Noah got saved on the Teva. Was it a reward or was it a punishment? So right away, the majority of the class says he got saved, it was a reward. A few of the, the wise ones, the sharp ones, say it was a punishment. They don't know why, but they know that that's the answer that I'm thinking. Of course, I teach the students, whenever somebody asks you a question, never answer the question directly, because you can be 50% right or 50% wrong. When I went to yeshiva, my rabbis taught me as a rabbi how to answer questions and I'll always be right. It depends. You see, because when you answer a question like that, you can never be wrong. Because everything depends on something. So when somebody asks me a question and I don't know the answer, well, if I risk and say yes, I have a 50% chance of being wrong. But if I say, oh, that's a good question, it depends. Then the student says, wow, he's a genius. Because there's always variables. So I taught them a lesson. Always answer, it depends. So back to the question, is Noah being rewarded or is he being punished? And the answer is, it depends. You see, if you're looking at it from the fact that his life was saved, well, then it's a reward. When 99.9% of the population perished and Noah got saved, it's a reward. But if you look how he got saved, that's a punishment. Because God could have saved Noah in a million and one ways. The Midrash says that there was no flood in Israel. So God could have sent Noah and his family to Israel for a full paid, expense trip to Israel for 1 year till the flood subsided. The Teva was no walk in the park. It wasn't a Caribbean cruise. The Teva was a miserable existence. Just think about it. No ventilation. Animals. The stench, the smell, the noise, and the fact that Noah wasn't able to sleep for 1 year, feeding the animals day, noon, and night. At the end, Noah says, please get me out of this penitentiary. Hotziya min masgen nafshi. The Teva to Noah was like a prison. So I asked a simple question. Why does God punish Noah to live in a teva with animals for 1 year? The Hatam Sofer asked this question, and the Al-Sheikh as well. I'm scared to say any names of Siddiqim because I know they'll want to light more candles. So I'm just going to say anonymous.
$1,000.
Anyway, we'll say it like this. The Sadiqim say that as great as Noah was, he had one deficiency. He was a Sadiq, no question about it. But if you look at Rashi in his unbelievable golden language, Rashi writes, Lefi Doro Hayat Sadiq. Noah was a Sadiq according to his generation. What does that mean? What does it mean that Sadiq according to his generation? Le Doro, Lefi Doro Ayat Sadiq. There was a rabbi called Rav Shimon Schwab. He explained it like this. The generation of Noah, their mantra, their way of life was a selfish life, as opposed to being selfless. The generation of Noah cared about themselves. After all, they were stealing from each other. They had no regard for anybody else's property or anybody else's life. It was an I generation. That was Noah's generation. And Noah was a tzaddik lefi doro. His righteousness modeled the nature of the generation. He was a tzaddik, but he was a selfish tzaddik. He was a Sadiq Lefi Doro. He was a tzaddik that was only worried about himself. 120 years, the claim against Noah is, how come you didn't go outreach? How come you didn't go bring the people back to Teshuvah? You had a world that was falling and crumbling. Noah, you're a rabbi. Imagine a lifeguard on a beach and you see hundreds of people, God forbid, drowning in the ocean. And the lifeguard just stands idly and watches. Or better, he turns his back to go on a lunch break when thousands of people are drowning. The claim of God against Noah. Noah, how come you didn't preach? How come you didn't pontificate? How come you didn't give sermons? How come you didn't go try to bring the people back to Teshuvah? You had 120 years. You were living with a society of humans that degenerated and were living like animals. And Noah, you didn't have the courtesy to turn these animals back into humans. Your punishment will be to live with animals for 1 year on a teva. The one that did not fix the animals will have to live with them. And if we got punished, God does not want us to be tzaddikim for ourselves. We must be concerned about others. SOS, save our souls. That's the tzaddik that's selfish. He's only concerned about his soul. Our concern must be about the souls of Klal Yisrael. It's true. A lifeguard cannot save others until he knows how to swim himself. Of course, first you have to learn yourself. You have to be a tzaddik yourself. But then you must share the wealth. You must use your talents and your God-given ability in order to impact and influence others. When I was in yeshiva, they used to say the parable, Noah was a tzaddik in a fur coat. What did they mean? They meant to say that if you walk into a room and it's freezing cold, so there's two people that react. One person says it's freezing in here. He puts on a fur coat. He's warm, but everybody else is still freezing. But there's another person that comes into the room and says it's freezing, so he lights a fire. Now everybody has warmth. Noah was a tzaddik in a fur coat. He saved himself, but he didn't share that warmth, the warmth of religion and Torah and godliness and divineness with others. God says, for that, you get punished. Well, you get rewarded that your life will be spared, but you're not going to have a luxurious existence. You're going to suffer for 1 year because you didn't overextend yourself. Well, if that's the case, I must tell you what the Baal Shem Tov said on the Pasuk that also talks about two different types of tzaddikim. Tzaddik katamar yifrah, ke'erez b'lebanon yisker. David HaMelech says there's one type of tzaddik that's like a date tree, tzaddik katamar. There's another type of tzaddik that's like an erez, that's a cedar tree. Says the Baal Shem, what's the difference between a tzaddik katamar and a tzaddik ke'erez? He says, well, a cedar tree is a majestic tree. It's a sturdy tree. It's a solid tree. That's referring to a tzaddik that grows himself and develops himself and is solid on the foundations of Judaism. But one thing about the cedar tree, it has no fruits. It's a barren tree. That's a tzaddik that builds himself but does not make students. But then there's a tree called the date tree. The date tree is also a solid tree, but there's fruit. It has a product. The Baal Shem said, it is our responsibility to be tzaddik katamar. It's not enough to grow yourself. You must then take your talents and grow others. Tzaddik katamar yifrah. A lot has been said about our Rabbi Racham Avadia. But what's not so well known is, as great as he was, as a prolific of a writer that he was, One of his main missions as a great rabbi was not to only grow himself. His mission was to take his Torah and to bring it to the masses. And that's what he did. There was a great rabbi called Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. He once made a comment about our rabbi, our Chaim Avadya. He said it in front of his colleagues, who were also world-class rabbis. He said, you know what the difference between him, referring to Chaim Avadya, and us? We never learned to close the book in order to go influence others. Chaim Avadya had the strength to close the book, meaning to stop his own learning in order to go from city to city and place to place to teach commoners, to teach business people, to teach workers, to teach people that were much, much lower than his level, but to bring them back to Teshuvah. Chaim Avadya, alav hashalom, when he was young, he used to have a custom every week. He would get a driver, one of the boys from the yeshiva, and he would tell him, take me to this city today. What are we doing? Just take me there. We're going to pray mincha in the shul. Do they know you're coming? They don't know I'm coming. He walks in, he goes to the gabbai, and he introduces himself, I am Avadya Yosef. Is it okay if I speak between mincha and arbit 15 minutes to Devar Torah? I say, b'chavod. And the rabbi is, in his inimitable way, with a story, with a joke, with a musab, all of a sudden they were eating out of his hands. Which gadol did this? Voluntarily? To go from city to city, from place to place, unannounced, uninvited, to give not high-level Torah that he had, but to bring it to a low level in order that the masses can eat it, they can drink it, so they can digest it. Chaim Avadya was a tzaddik, not in a fur coat. Chaim Avadya was a tzaddik atamar. His tzidkut benefited others. Like Rav Shlomo Zalman said, he had the strength not to open the book. Every tzaddik has that strength. Chaim Avadya's strength that he knew when to close the book in order to benefit others. Even though it might have stunted his own growth, but he understood that that's what God wants. And as a result, he was at the funeral of the Panovich Rav in the yeshiva in Panovich. He was there. He was there with his son, who was the current chief rabbi. The current chief rabbi looked at his father and said, Daddy, we're the only two Sephardim. Everybody else is Ashkenazim. Where are all the Sephardim? And Chaim Avadya said, you'll see. One day the Sephardim are going to be heard. One day the Sephardim in Eretz Yisrael are going to be known. And they're going to be not a silent minority, but they're going to be a majority that's going to have to be contended with. And that was his mission. He went from house to house, from place to place, and he was Mekarev Levavot. How many times did the Rav come to New York, to our community? I followed him because I was young, I was mesmerized by the Rav. I followed him from 6 a.m. till 11 p.m. In one day, he must have made 20 to 30 different stops. But he's not like me. I do that sometimes. I have one speech and I just keep on looping it over and over and over. The same speech 20 times, and nobody knows, because the people that came to the first speech didn't come to the second speech. So they have no idea that I'm just like a broken record, like a parrot, just repeating and regurgitating and recycling. 25 speeches, each one is a different speech, not related, nothing to do. He sizes the place up like a jukebox, lehavdil. Right away, pushes the right buttons, boom, comes out the perfect recording, the perfect music. And he does that day in and day out. And that's besides all the work that he was doing for Klal Yisrael. At his funeral, his son Chaim David spoke. The doctors went to the Chacham and they said, you need a stent. They told him, you must go to the hospital immediately to put in the stent. He had a blockage. So they went to the Chacham and he said, I cannot go.
At least I cannot go now. I'll go tomorrow. They said, Daddy, the doctors are saying you need the stent. You need to go to the hospital. The Hakam said, I cannot go. He said, Rabbi, why? He said, because there's a lady. Her husband went missing in the war. She wants to get remarried. She's been in Aguna for so many years. And now I am dealing in this case. How could I go to the hospital and leave this lady, God forbid, in limbo and in safek and in doubt another night? I need to write this responsa in order to allow her to get remarried. That's more important than my stent. Who was this lady? Was it related to him? Was it a relative? It's a total stranger. Hakam Avadya's greatness is that he put the people first. People think that Hakam Avadya was a lenient rabbi. They think it's because it was a weakness of his, that he just always wanted to be lenient. It's not the case. Hakam Avadya loved the people. And he knew that a businessman, if you're going to be strict on him, it's going to be difficult for him to run his business. The businessman needs to have leeway in order to keep his business running and not breaking the laws of religion. So Hakam Avadya was able to empathize with that. It's easy for a rabbi to say, Asud, Asud, Asud. The rabbi appreciated what the businessman and the worker goes through. He was able to put himself in their shoes, even though himself he would not take those leniencies. But he was very, very easy to give them to others. And I once heard the rabbi say the following story. How much he loved the people. Usually you have great people. Albert Einstein, the Havdil, smart guy, but he wasn't a people's person. You couldn't relate to him. He couldn't have a conversation with you. He was in the sky. You have a doubt that Hakam Avadya was not 100 times greater than Einstein? I once met one of the greatest lawyers in New York. He heard about the passing of the Rav. He said, tell me something that will impress me as a lawyer about your rabbi. I said, I'll impress. I said, I want to ask you a question. If I give you a case, so-and-so versus so-and-so, and I give you an example of what they're arguing about, can you give me precedent? Precedent means, could you give me other examples in law history of a similar case? He said, I can. I said, how many precedents can you give me on any given case? He said, if I'm a good lawyer, I could probably off the cuff give you 5 or 6 precedents. It happened in Wisconsin, there was a case in California, there was a case in Rhode Island, there was a case in... I said, off the bat, you give me 5? I said, you know that our rabbi, in one responsa, trying to find precedent for a certain principle in Jewish law, in one of his teshuvot, in the 3rd volume of Yabia Omed, brings 500 precedents from all over the library. He says, 500 proofs to one principle in one responsa? This is not from this world. Our Hakam was great in that sense. And as great as he was in his knowledge, look how much he was able to bring himself down to the commoner, to come from community to community and speak and doresh and give. So he was worried about agunot against his own doctor that he tells him he needs heart procedures. But it was the people that he loved, and it didn't matter. And as a result, he lifted up all our congregations. Ladies and gentlemen, Hakam Avadya was Sadiqa Tamar. If he was around, he was like not Noah, he was like Avraham Avinu. The Hafiz Haim said, and I'll conclude, why didn't God choose Noah to be the first of our fathers? He says, for precisely the reason. Because to be a father of Klal Yisrael, you have to go out. Avraham Avinu was the first father. Because not only did he build himself, but the Pasuk says in this week's Parashah, which is the Parashah that our rabbi passed away, Parashat Lech Lecha, the Pasuk says, Vayikra Sham B'Shem Hashem. He would call out in the name of God.
And it says, in what city did he do that? The pasuk says that Avram went to a city called Ha'ai, the city of Ai. And I said, is it a coincidence? He went to the city called Ha'ai, and he called out in the name of God. Exactly what Noah didn't do. And that's the week that Acham Avadia passed away. And if you take the letters Ha'ai, He'ai in Yud, it's an acronym. Harav Ovadia Yosef. Which means his name was hinted in the parasha that he passed away. And therefore I say, we are very fortunate to be the students of such a Rav. We're very fortunate to have the approach. And he once said, and I'll conclude the story that I wanted to tell you. He said there was once a rabbi, and they would come to ask him questions. He wasn't so smart. So everything he would say, asur, asur. Because if you don't know the right answer, everything is forbidden. And they would come to him with animals. Rabbi, is the animal kosher or not? Better not. Don't eat it. Meanwhile, the person who owned the animal was losing money. Every time he comes to the rabbi, no good, throw it out. Every animal, $500-$600. So he went to his friend and he said, this rabbi's putting me out of business. Every time I go to him, don't eat it, not kasher, I have to throw it away. He says, listen, why don't you do what I do? He said, what do you do? He says, I got a dog. Dog. The Torah says that what are you supposed to do with not kosher meat? You throw it to the dog. He says, so anytime you have a question, you throw it to the dog. If the dog eats it, you know it's not kosher. If he doesn't eat it, you know it's kosher. He says, you're serious? He says, I'm telling you, that's what I do. So fine. So for the next 2 years, every time he has a question, he throws it to the dog. He has a question, he throws it to the dog. After 2 years, he comes back to the rabbi. He says, Rabbi, I have a question. He says, you have a question? Where have you been for 2 years? He said, I have to admit to you, you know, you were very, very strict. So I got a new system of a dog. And I throw it to the dog, and sometimes he eats and sometimes he doesn't eat. He says, so why did you give out that system? Why'd you give that system up? He says, to be honest with you, the dog is even more strict than you, Rabbi. He eats everything. Achav of Adyad told that story. What he meant to say is that if you learn the law well, and you know the sources, you know the precedents, then you're able to find not an illegal loophole, but you're able to find legal loopholes in the halakha in order to make life for the businessman and the businesswoman and the commoner that needs to live in these ways to make his life a little more pleasurable. It only came of the love of Klal Yisrael. And therefore I say on tonight, on his Elulah, let us learn from that lesson. Ladies and gentlemen, you're all religious, more or less. But I'm sure that you're not the majority of the Jews of Toronto. I'm sure that unfortunately there are many that are unaffiliated and there are many that are not connected and don't have a connection or a kishin or a tie to our great religion. One cannot sit back and say, thank God, I'm still traditional, my children go to the yeshiva, I'm connected to a congregation, I have a great rabbi. That's Noah. It's not enough to be righteous like a cedar tree. A cedar tree has no perpetuation, has no future. You cut it down and there's nothing to show for it. Cut a date tree down, there might be no tree, but a lot of dates fall. There's a future. We must be tzaddik katamar. And then, be'azat Hashem, I have no doubt that the great rabbi that we came to memorialize tonight, Acham Avadia, will be an advocate for us. But not only Acham Avadia, all the tzaddikim that are on the sides of the rabbi's in the middle tonight because it's his night, but all the tzaddikim, be'azat Hashem, that you've come tonight to show so much homage and so much respect, and you've given the tzaddikim so much honor and the proper kavod that they deserve, I pray that the tzaddikim should be mi'itzyoshir ba'adenu, an advocate for us. May God bless all of you with health and prosperity. Zichutam uzchut kol tzaddikim yagen ba'adenu. Tzaddik katamar yifrach. כארץ בלבנון יסגר, and then בעזרת השם שתולים בבית השם, בבית השם יפליחו. In Arabic we say farah, you should have happy occasions, you should have berakah, you should prosper and be successful in all your ways. Amen.